Welcome to the Lockdown Dads podcast with me, Ian Dinwiddie, and my co-host, James Miller. We have 46 episodes available for you to explore with us and our amazing guests. Among many fascinating conversations, learn the personal stories and pandemic insights from politicians, PhDs, and an international rock star. If you do enjoy the content, why not visit inspiringdads.co.uk and sign up for our next webinar that explains why supporting new dads at work is the route to gender equality.
Hello and welcome to Lockdown Dads. We're back for series three. The podcast, which was supposed to end with lockdown, is still going because lockdown is still going and it's worse than ever. Oh, I am still James Miller, editor of workingdads.co.uk and author of Dads Don't Babysit and father of two.
Hi, and I'm back as well. My name's Ian Dinwiddie. I'm the founder of Inspiring Dads, a coaching business that helps working dads to balance their work and their fatherhood, quite frankly. My kids, they're still 10 and 7. That's about to change in January, which is probably about the highlight of January. That's the thing we're looking forward to the most in January. But we're delighted to be back, and we're delighted to have a new guest with us today. Welcome Louise Goss, the founder and editor of The Homeworker magazine.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So I guess the first thing we always start off in the show, Louise, is to ask, how are you?
Oh, what a question at the start of 2021. I think all things considered, I'm doing okay. I'm grateful, grateful that I'm working, that my husband's still working, and that we're all healthy. You know, me and the children, us and the children, and I think right now that's a sort of a really good start to the year. But yeah, I'm busy, and it's been, I think, as with anybody, although I haven't got the uncertainty that a lot of people are dealing with in terms of, you know, job scenarios, I think when you just try and start thinking about the outside world, that becomes quite daunting. So very much kind of trying to focus in at the moment and on what we can control and on, you know, looking after the people we can and sort of taking care of ourselves and each other. And, you know, that sounds perhaps a bit, but right now, I mean, I do sort of feel that's about as good as it can get.
Yeah, definitely. And what about you, James? How are you feeling? You were saying when we were pre-recording that you were a bit frazzled.
I'm all right. If you remember the last lockdown in November, I didn't like it at all. I don't like this one either, but I'm better. Tuesday morning, I was really grumpy because I had to get homeschool set up and I couldn't get my work done. And I was like, oh, this is not good. But I kind of made my peace with it. Yeah, a bit tired. I mean, there's a lot of things I really don't like about fascists, but one of them is that they kept me up last night watching the news to watch American democracy crumble. And then, of course, I couldn't get to sleep because I was like, oh my God, is America going to survive the night? I mean, like I say, there's lots of people to hate fascists, but that's just another reason to hate the fascists. But, you know, apart from that, no, you know, yeah, it's, but, you know, I'm sure we all feel a bit scrambled this week, but I guess because we've been here before, you know what to do a bit. And
it does feel a bit like Groundhog Day, doesn't it?
Yeah. Maybe
that's part of the problem. Like, you want to start the new year normally feeling really positive and you know, I'm not saying I'm not optimistic for this year to come, but I think it's just been a very different start to the year this time, rather than feeling like, yes, you know, all guns blazing, all these goals, all these plans. I think at the moment, all of that is a little bit on hold because you're kind of not quite sure when this is all going to start and coming to an end. So, yeah, it's...
I think that's a good point. I mean, I put last year's diary away last week and I've had a flick through and it starts off going, well, usually I'm a bit, you know, a bit down because Christmas is over, but this year we've got our big holiday of a lifetime to America to look forward to at Easter. Oh, that didn't happen. At least this year, you know, this year's diary starts with, well, what fresh hell awaits us this year? You can only get better from there, right?
Yeah.
How are you doing it? How are you feeling?
The only way is up, I think. I think like you, Tuesday, I mean, well, You had a strange situation with homeschool because your son's primary was going to be open probably, whereas we're just down the road. Maybe we were never going to be open. We're always tier four, tier five, whatever we are down here. Tuesday was tricky. Kind of that frustration. Person I miss most, more than ever. Forget about sort of grandparents. I miss Flo. I miss that sense of sitting down and being able to write something and to be able to concentrate something and embrace my flow. So Flo is the person I miss more than anyone. You know, grandparents, yeah, fine. love my dad, shielding. You know, family's great, but I miss that sense with the kids at home. I miss that sense of being able to just focus on one task and know you can do it without interruption. And I knew that was the problem last time, but that's what kind of got me down a bit. And it's still here. And I was like, okay, right, I've got to cope with this. I've got to kind of work out, you know, when those times I can work and when I can't, and just kind of focus on what the kids need. And yeah, that what you're saying, Louise, I think that inward looking to a certain extent, and do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think last time the guilt got me a little bit more than it has this time. I think this time there's a bit more acceptance around it, and it's less of a new situation that we've been thrown into. So we're sort of back where we were, but we all kind of know we're in it together, and we were all experiencing it in some ways as parents anyway, most of us similarly. So I'm not quite as worried. I know, like as we were talking a bit before with the schools and things, I have luckily been able to send mine back for a few days a week, but only because of, you know, some of the key worker in the family.
Right, here's one of my famously clunky gear changes coming up. It's not that clunky, actually. Because one of the good things about this week, I'd suggest, actually, what I've quite enjoyed, is having the kids around. Because I don't know if I mentioned this in the last series. Last year seems like a long time ago already. But it was really boring being a home worker and coming down and sitting at the kitchen table, looking out at the back garden, which isn't interesting because, you know, it's winter, and doing the same thing every day. At least now there's some variety because you've got to handle homeschool and it's a bit more interesting. And that, you know, is clearly a negative in some ways, but I do find that a bit more stimulating. And, oh, Louise has a magazine called The Home Worker. See, do you see that was good, wasn't it?
That's a nice segue.
I'd love to, well, we will talk about what all this, as we called it, I think we called it way back in episode one, we were talking about all this, you know, whatever that covers, has affected the magazine and what goes in it and all the rest of it. But tell us about the beginning, if you like, first, because you've been going for a couple of years now.
Couple of years, yes. So actually, yeah, this January will be our second year. So the issue I'm about to produce is going to be like our sort of second birthday, if you like. The first issue came out, but actually the sort of the idea for it was probably a few years prior to that. I mean, I'll give you the sort of the condensed version, but essentially I was looking at something for me to do and what I could do. I've always been a journalist. I've been self-employed freelance for a number of years and worked for myself for quite a long time. But at one point I was working as part of a tech startup, which is something not many people sort of associate me with, but I was, as part of that, became so aware of how many small business owners there were, like, because we were doing a lot of interviews with them, and I was profiling a lot of people who sort of just ran home businesses, and that kind of just opened my eyes up to the number of sort of entrepreneurs, freelancers, people running their own businesses at home, and this sort of hidden economy of people. And as a journalist, I love talking to people, hearing their stories, finding out a bit about them. And so that was for me a bit of a like, oh, how interesting would it be to sort of focus on this group of the population and start profiling them and talking to them, and a bit of not just about their stories and their businesses, but how they manage it all when they're at home. And then that idea just started to evolve, and my children at the time were, well, I only had one at the time, and then when we moved back to the UK, because I was in Australia for a number of years, we moved back to the UK, and that became the real crossroad to me. I was like, I had two young children under three, and I thought I still wanted to do something for myself. I wanted to just, you know, have a bit of identity again, and you know, going back to the newsroom just didn't seem particularly well, a viable option at the time with 24-hour news the way it is and two young children, and it just wasn't conducive to sort of family life. And so I took the decision to set up the magazine, and the magazine came about because I started looking at working from home as a topic and just started seeing all the different facets that come together when it comes to home working. So obviously you've got the business side of it, and then you've got your productivity and your mindset and how you look after yourself and your work environment and how important that is, and how do you set that up when you're at home, and all of those elements. Kind of the magazine seemed like a good vehicle, if you like, to kind of put that all together. And then obviously with my background as a journalist, I thought actually this is something I could do, and that's where the kind of the idea sort of stemmed from. So I wish I could say I had this eureka moment and this amazing foresight that we were all going to be doing it. But I mean, that was a few years ago. I mean, I could see that it was growing. I could see that more people were going self-employed, that more people were wanting that flexibility of working from home. So I knew that it wasn't necessarily like a sort of a stagnant group of people, but it was... I mean, yeah, who could have known what was going to happen? But it was, that's how it started. And I just sort of put it out there early, in 2019, and sort of went, well, let's see how it goes. And, you know, I was lucky, I suppose. I mean, it had such a great reception, and the people who started reading it really enjoyed it and liked it. And I guess it was quite new, you know, nobody else seemed to be covering that kind of niche. It's become a bit less niche now, but yeah, it's that's how it all began.
And one of the sort of the driving principles behind it, I suppose, which I'm sort of I like in particular, is this idea that it's holistic. Because what you don't want when you're working from home, particularly in the current climate, but at any time, is those pieces that say, here's how to be really productive. You want tips, you want practical advice, yeah. And you do want to be as productive as you can. But you know what I mean? The bits that are like, here's how to be really productive. And like, yeah, that doesn't fit because I've got to go out and get the kids at 3 o'clock, or at the moment, right. I've got to do homeschooling every morning. Obviously, there's some of that in the magazine in terms of useful advice.
Sure, yeah.
But it comes from a place of, it's holistic. I think
that was very much one of that sort of the underlying principles of that. This was a holistic and looking at this whole topic very holistically, because it's kind of a nod to how chaotic it can be, and that, you know, work and life are very integrated nowadays, and there's no real getting around that. So yes, there are very much practical tips in there around productivity and maybe sort of running a business as well, but equally it looks at your well-being and your mindset and the things that are actually going to sort of see you through the day. And, you know, I like the fact that I sort of interview some really interesting people on these different topics. And, you know, what's great for me and part of the thing that I love about doing it is coming up with the ideas. And because I'm living it myself, you know, I can very much go, oh, you know, it would be interesting to find out about this. And then it's, you know, finding someone who can talk about that and really, sort of digging into these topics in a bit more depth, because it's very easy to do a quick Google, you know, top 5 productivity tips working from home. So what I like to do is actually interview, you know, I did something on, you know, how to focus when you're working from home, but looked at it with a professor who actually studied and is an expert in ADHD. So, you know, if you've got ADHD, how do you actually switch off and really focus on one thing? And a lot of the things that he talks about can apply to people who are working from home with numerous distractions around them, including potentially children. So, you know, it's those sorts of things that I think it just make it stand out a little bit more and a bit different.
And Louise, in terms of, obviously, it's a sort of 2 years, you're celebrating the second year, and congratulations for about to celebrate your second anniversary for the magazine. And it feels like there's almost been two almost distinct years, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much have you noticed the change in people's interest in the magazine and maybe the type of content they're interested in?
Yeah, so it was really two distinct years, actually. The first year, I guess for me anyway, I was just starting out and feeling my own way a little bit, engaging what sort of content was resonating with people. But in terms of how it's evolved, I would say certainly in terms of the audience, primarily it is still people who are self-employed and freelance, but increasingly, and particularly in 2020, you had the employees, the remote workers who also were interested in this and were much more new to it. So, you know, there were, it's finding that balance actually between talking about something where you were, you know, how much knowledge do you assume on the subject? Because for some people, it's very much a new experience and they need back to basics, just like, how do I even, you know, set my desk up for productive working, or you know, how do I, you know, even cope with you know, the kitchen being right there, and then, like, you know, and some, and then it's also looking at something perhaps where somebody has been doing it for quite a few years, but you still want to give them really interesting and useful, relevant content. So I think there's a bit of a mix. What I ended up doing actually in last year, I can say last year now, is introduce a corporate subscription so that for employees or employers who want to offer it to their remote workers. And the content's very similar, but I do occasionally just tweak some of the articles or add, remove certain things if they're more or less relevant. So yeah, that sort of thing has changed. Certainly in terms of what people are wanting more of now. I mean, you're right, productivity is still very key, but actually looking at your mental health and your work environment, those sorts of things are definitely sort of still and probably going to increasingly be important and relevant to people.
I think it's one of the things that James and I have talked about, how this, you know, pandemic home working is not the same as the type of home working that we all three of us have experienced long term, mm-hmm. which usually involves a trip or two each week to your favorite coffee shop to break yeah. things up, maybe even a trip or two every day in some cases, yeah. but it's a very different environment, and helping, you know, anything that we can do, and then the magazine's role in helping people to navigate that, I think is so important.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's there's working from home and then there's working from home during a global pandemic, and they are very different things. So I was really sort of, when we first went into lockdown, very keen to really stress actually the how we were not experiencing working from home in the way that you would under normal circumstances. It really wasn't a fair reflection, if you like, of what yeah. working from home could be like. And so, you know, people who were new to it were also trying to deal with, you know, children, you know, homeschooling children as we all were, and having potentially, you know, your partner at home who might have normally gone to the office, you know, so there were all these other things trying to, you know, negotiate space, desk time, who got the kitchen table and who was allowed to work from the desk for a little bit. And, you know, it's all those different things which on a normal day-to-day basis, you wouldn't have to deal with. You know, you might now more as people are, you know, more remote workers are coming on board. So I know my husband, for instance, will be probably working from home, I say permanently, but at least, you know, several days a week ongoing now once this is over, even when the pandemic is over.
And where does family fit into this? I haven't quite figured out how to phrase this question, but
okay.
You know, I'm aware that all three of us are home workers essentially due to family requirements, right? Now, for you, that's typical because you're a woman. There's an awful lot of women who, in your situation, who have become home, had kids, and then ended up working from home. That's not typical for us because we're men, but we've done it yep. for exactly the same reasons, actually. We're all in the same boat here, but yeah, you know, it's only our gender that makes it different. And I wonder to what extent home working is driven by that family considerations for mums and for dads.
For me?
Well, for your readers, I suppose. You know, is there a demand for stuff that recognizes that you know, family life is what has driven them to home working? And I appreciate, again, in 2020 that has slightly changed, but
yeah,
going forward, yeah, people might want to stay at home more because of the family life they've had during the pandemic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the majority of readers are parents, but not all. And I was actually very keen when I sort of launched it. There is a lot of stuff out there for working mums, for mumpreneurs, and I really didn't want to go down that road. I wanted this to be for people who work from home, and that can be mums, dads, single people, freelancers, remote workers. So it is quite broad. I mean, they always talk about you must find your niche, but I mean, working from home seemed quite niche. But yeah, I would say for a lot of people, and you're right, particularly women, there are quite a few who are mums and have at that point decided to either set up on their own and go self-employed, or maybe take part-time or flexible working and those sorts of roles. So I think it is a big driver. It remains a big driver in terms of why people do it. You know, I've heard so many stories of, again, sadly, particularly women who have not been offered or been able, their employer has not been able to give them the flexible working that they wanted. And therefore, you know, they've almost had no choice but to leave or do something different. And that's really sad. I mean, I think the one thing that may hopefully come out of all of this is that we have seen how we can work more flexibly. And that it does work. And of course, it's not for everybody. I'm not saying that every job should be done remotely or can be done remotely. But we have seen that the technology is there, that, you know, people can do it and still get their work done. And, you know, I think now we are, thankfully, I think, starting to shift towards, okay, let's focus more on the output and the outcomes rather than how many hours you're sat at a desk. And it's a huge period of adapting that everyone has to come to, but particularly for managers and leaders as well, who are having to learn how to manage people remotely when they're not able to physically see them. And for some, that's really difficult.
It's interesting, you're talking about your husband. It's quite interesting what you're saying about he's working more likely to be working sort of 2 or 3 days a week from home on a long-term basis. And I wondered how much of that was his own personal choice and how much of that was a work choice. Because I think he wrote about it, didn't he, for the magazine. He wrote about, because he wasn't used to working from home, and he wrote about his experience and how it had changed for him and how he perceived things.
Yes. So, in fact, when he very first started doing it, I would say it was probably sort of once a fortnight, maybe, if that's pre, you know, sort of 2019, early 2020. And he didn't enjoy it at all. His first experiences of it were quite negative. He felt, as I think a lot of people do, and it was quite a relatable piece, that there was this sort of underlying anxiety about having to be constantly online, switched on. If you stepped away from the desk, there was this guilt, there was this worry that, oh, are they going to think I'm, you know, skiving off? Because I think up until quite recently, there was a bit of a perception, you know, if you had work from home, you know, penned out in the calendar, it was that you actually had some appointments that you needed to get to, or, you know, you had some Netflix to catch up on or something. But it was, I think that perception has also shifted a bit over the, you know, the last few months. And, but yes, he was doing it now and again, wasn't overly keen, but kind of appreciated that there were benefits to it. And he did quite like the fact that he could do the school drop off as part of that, you know. And and then of course during lockdown, permanently working from home, and he now really likes it. He sort of sees the benefits of it. He definitely, and I think, you know, many people will agree, there are advantages to being in the office and as a worker, as an employee. And I think that hybrid option, that solution of, you know, a few days at home and a few days at the office is, you know, long term probably going to be the ideal and what more people will end up doing. But for my husband, it will be, I think his company have said, look, we probably won't go back 9 to 5, 5 days a week in the office. But for him personally, he also is quite glad of that and will happily do a few days at home and, you know, and then enjoy the sort of the mix up of going into the office a couple of days as well, just for those, you know, meeting up with people, the collaboration, that this, the things that you do miss when that interaction.
You're the editor of the Home Worker magazine. Can I ask a couple of quick questions before we move on to the tips?
Yes, sure.
You need a desk. Should I get a desk?
Do you need a desk? Where are you now? Your kitchen table.
What would you recommend? Do home workers, should you get a desk if you're working from home?
Personally, I would get a desk. Are you saying in not the kitchen table?
Yeah.
There are some, I actually did a thing with a roundup of desks because it's quite interesting the number of new innovations that have come up as a result of COVID. And, you know, people have, you know, there are some ingenious desks out there. And so in some ways I'd say you might not need a proper desk, but you could buy something that you can put onto your kitchen table that's much more portable, so that you're, you know, like these sort of ergonomics standing platform things that you can put onto any table or desk, and they're quite compact, and then you can take it off when you're done. I say the disadvantage of being at the kitchen table is you are having to constantly move, and I think I found it, you know, when I a few months before we moved, I didn't have my own office. We actually turfed my daughter out of her room and made an office for during lockdown, because we realized with two of us at home, we have to have our own space to work from. But, you know, prior to that, I was either at a little side table or I was on the kitchen table. You know, I sort of floated around a bit. The one thing I would say, please, like, never do, if you could avoid it, is work from the sofa or the home or the floor. I mean, it's just long term, it's so bad for your back and your neck and everything else, and so I would say yes, desk would be fairly important, and a good chair actually.
I've got either of them, right?
You haven't got either of them. Well, you know, there are ways around it. I will tell you, I mean, this is actually kind of moving on to tips slightly, but as a tip, if you don't have the perfect desk and the perfect chair, the best thing you can do is just move regularly. Because not everybody does have, you know, their own office. Not everyone has their own desk, right? So you're sort of adapting your home as best you can. And I always remember interviewing an ergonomist, and she said, you know, the best posture is the next posture, i.e. just move regularly. Because, you know, even if you've not got a perfect ergonomic setup, if you're sort of hunched over, you know, for hours end, you know, even if it involves setting an alarm to remind you to move, like just move, stretch, you know, it just really helps.
Speaks to one of my old tips, that one, the old get an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
They're really expensive, but they run your life. They're 10 to the hour. It will say,
that's why I'm worried about them.
They run your life for a minute. You know, it's obviously take over your life though, but you know, I sound like I've got a chip in my brain from the Apple Watch people.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
What's your tip, Ian? Have you got a tip?
My tip was to do with involving the children in the planning of homeschool, sort of what needs to happen and when. So that's my son last year. I mean, he is a bit older, and in terms of moving from sort of being, I don't know, just over seven, 9 months, 9, 10 months is quite a big age. Quite a big change when you're that age, but he seems to be much more engaged in home learning. I do wonder whether part of it was because we sat down and we made a list of all the things that they wanted to do. Both children wrote down all the things they wanted to do, things they liked doing last time, things they didn't like, things, and also the list of what do we have to do. And so they created, actually, to be honest, the schedule of the day is pretty similar to what we had last time, but this time they feel like they've inputted into that process. And so for little Struan, who behaves much better at school than he does for homeschool daddy, then that seems to have made a bit of a difference. So yeah, involving your kids in the planning process. And so they, at the very least, they feel like they're part of the decision.
Mm. I agree. We did that a lot last time, actually, even with my daughter wasn't so much, she was three, so she wasn't really, she was sort of playing more than anything, and my son, to be fair, was only five, but we talked to him about things that he wanted to do, and even with that sort of minimal input that he had, he then felt important and he was part of it, and suddenly it became more exciting. And so I think that's a good point about just getting them involved in as much as you can, so they feel important and part of what's going on.
It's communication, come back to it time and again in lockdown and coronavirus and all the rest of it, is talk to your boss, talk to your partner, talk to your children, keep the channels open. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's a good tip for parenthood in general, Ian, is talk to your children, keep them involved. you know, keep the channels open. I don't know. Well, we'll see. I'm going into the teenage years, I might be foolish in a couple of years ago. Oh, what was I thinking? That doesn't happen. But yeah, I think it's quite a good one. Like I say, brain's been scrambled this week, but here's my tip. Leave the fairy lights up. Christmas tree came down at the start of the week on Monday afternoon, and then Monday night, Bojo's like, you're all going into lockdown. Brilliant. What a great day. But whatever, just leave the lights up. I've got three sets of outdoor lights, and I'm going to write NHS in my hedge. I've decided to offer some sort of light. It's also quite helpful for, you know, being able to see your way down the stairs when it's icy. But you know, why not brighten the place up? Put the three.
I have fairy lights in my office. I'm not actually sat in my office at the moment for various reasons. We're having some work done, and it needs a new roof and various things. But yes, I have fairy lights, and I kept them up. But I was like, yes, because they don't have to be just for Christmas, and it just gives a nice ambiance. I think that, you know, I can give you a tip in terms of just like your workspace. You know, it doesn't matter how small or where it is. If it's somewhere that's inviting and welcoming and makes you feel good, then you're going to want to be in it more, and you're going to want to do your better work there. And I think we sometimes forget how important it is, because you're at home and you're just like, oh, well, I'll just make do with wherever. But looking at your surroundings and thinking about what just makes you feel nice, you know, it could just be having some nice candles that you like the smell of burning. You know, it's simple things can make a real difference about how you feel about where you are when you're working from home. So I just think, you know, so yeah, keep the fairy lights up.
Little treats. I think, yeah, there's a lot to be said for the next few weeks and months. You know, look after yourself.
Might be able to do that. I've taken my lights down, apart from there's a big pyramid thing. That it kind of, it's got a base and the lights come out of down the side. However, the box, there's absolutely no way it's going to go back in the box, and I haven't bitten the bullet yet. So it's down the side of the house. So Chris, it could come back. My daughter did suggest that maybe just put it up somewhere. Yeah, it's possible without taking everything out. So I might do that.
I've just made it a tip. So obviously you follow up.
Obviously, I once bought chocolate digestives based on your flavored cherry digestives based on your tip, and they were very good.
Well, you know, I was just that's really smooth, because I was just about to say we're nearly out of time, so we're not going to manage to discuss obviously the main thing about home working, which is how do you resist eating all the biscuits. We'll have to save that for another one.
Just keep
eating all the biscuits, basically.
Much variety of biscuits at home. Louise, thank you very much for being with us today. If people want to learn more about the Homeworker magazine, where can they go?
The best place is the website, which is thehomeworker.com. And we're on social media as well. So Instagram at thehomeworkermag. And it's the same for Facebook too.
Fantastic. So we'll put those links in the description of the video and of the podcast. So this has been episode number 28. The first episode of season number 3 of Lockdown Dads, the show that won't go away. And while we embrace the new normal that is 2021, and we will be back next week with a new guest talking about more things that are relevant to lockdown and to dads and to this whole thing we're in. So thank you very much for everyone for watching and listening, and we look forward to seeing you again and having you involved in our show next week. Take care, everyone. Thank you, Louise, and thank you, James. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Lockdown Dads podcast with me, Ian Dinwiddie, and my co-host, James Miller. We have 45 episodes available for you to explore with us and our amazing guests. If you enjoyed the content, why not visit inspiringdads.co.uk and sign up for our next webinar that explains why supporting new dads at work is the route to gender equality.